Welcome to my podcast. Did you hear what Chocolate said? Powered by the Chocolate Writer Communications and PR. I'm Chocolate, and thanks for joining me for Season 2, Episode 5. My icons are leaving us. Today, I'm talking about the legend that was Bill Russell. Let's start the show. To me, the most important part of winning is joy. You can win without joy, but winning that's joyless is like eating in a 4-star restaurant when you're not hungry. Joy is a current of energy in your body, like chlorophyll or sunlight, that fills you up and makes you naturally want to do your best. That's a quote from one of the greatest athletes and the greatest winner of all time. Athlete, what do you think of when you hear this word? Merriam-Webster defines an athlete as a person who is trained or skilled in exercises, sports, or games requiring physical strength, agility, or stamina. The Oxford Dictionary states simply that it's a person proficient in sports or other forms of physical exercise. We can all agree that basketball players would meet both definitions, some more so than others. It's one thing to be proficient at it. It's another to be a legendary athlete, one who is well known, celebrated, and world famous, admired and spoken about often as one of the best at a certain athletic feat. Those blessed with these gifts and talents are looked at in amazement and awe. Fans consider them larger than life, giants even. They're special people who fans look up to and want to emulate, despite what Charles Barkley famously said. And when these mighty athletes are just as legendary for who they are and what they do while not participating in their particular sport, we cannot help but speak their name whenever discussing who reigns at the top of their sport. The game of professional basketball is a complex game of speed, teamwork, endurance, hand-eye coordination, natural athleticism, cerebral understanding of the game, and believe it or not, some geometry. To excel at this game puts you definitely at the top of the gene pool as far as athletes go. For the NBA, there are a few names that can never be left out when discussing its history. Future generations of fans should never be taught the game without mentioning their names. Maravich, Chamberlain, West, Barry, Baylor, Cousy, Pettit, Irving, Abdul-Jabbar, Magic, Bird, Thomas, oh yeah, and Michael Jordan, and so on. Great athletes and leaders in their sport, all of them. But one name, the name that represents winning, is that of the great Bill Russell. Mr. Russell passed away at the age of 88 on July 31st. Whenever we lose one of the greats, it can hit some of us like a gut punch, as if we knew them personally. This is true for me here. When I heard the news, I was actually watching a classic NBA matchup online, the 2000 NBA Finals, Game 4, where the great Shaquille O'Neal fouled out and Kobe Bryant took over the game to lead the Lakers to a win. When the notification came up across my phone, I dropped it. Yes, I know, he was 88. He had led a full life. I hate when people say that. He's led a full life. Well, no matter how full his life was, I still wasn't ready for him to leave here. The death of Kobe Bryant is still fresh and raw for me over 2 years later. I just wasn't ready for this. When someone as iconic as Bill Russell has been around the game I love ever since I remember, it's hard to picture the NBA landscape without him. I remember when Wilt Chamberlain died in 1999. I could not believe it. This feels much like that. After winning two consecutive NCAA championships, Bill Russell was drafted into the NBA by the St. Louis Hawks 10 years before I was even born. This 1956 draft was historical because Red Auerbach, coach of the Boston Celtics, traded two players to the Hawks for Russell in that draft. And he also drafted two other future Hall of Famers in Tom Heinsohn and Casey Jones, who later became the head coach of that Leprechaun team and was also Russell's teammate at the University of San Francisco. Bill Russell's career is the stuff of legends, icons, greatness, and whatever other word you want to use for superb. Let's get into the career and life of this great, great man, superb athlete. He was born February 12, 1934. While he was in college at the University of San Francisco, he combined the stature and shot blocking skills of a center with the foot speed of a guard and became a dominant force in college basketball. The NCAA rewrote rules in response to Russell's dominant play. During his junior year, the lane was widened in hopes of making it harder to get ahead of the offensive player. After he graduated, even, the NCAA Rules Committee instituted a second new rule prohibiting basket interference to counter the play of the big man, all because of Bill Russell. He had a great college career, including a string of 55 consecutive victories and an unofficial triple-double with 26 points, 27 rebounds, 20 blocks, 3 steals, and an assist. UCLA Bruins legendary coach John Wooden called Bill Russell the greatest defensive man I've ever seen. He and Casey Jones helped pioneer a play that later became known as the alley-oop. Did you know that? The alley-oop came from Bill Russell and Casey Jones. In 1955, the great Bill Russell averaged 20.7 points a game and 20.3 rebounds a game. He led his team to the NCAA championships in both 1955 and 56. Before he even got to get started in the NBA, he captained the gold medal winning USA national basketball team at the 1956 Summer Olympics. By the time he started playing in the NBA, he dominated the game from day one. He ended up averaging 15.1 points per game. His rebounding, defense, and leadership made him one of the most dominant players of his era. He stood 6'10", and he had a 7'4" wingspan. His shot blocking and man-to-man defense were major reasons for the Celtics' dominance during his career. He was noted for his strong rebounding abilities, and he led the NBA in rebounds 4 times, had a dozen consecutive seasons of 1,000 or more rebounds, and remained second all-time in both total rebounds and rebounds per game. He is one of just 2 NBA players, the other one being Wilt Chamberlain, to have grabbed more than 50 rebounds in a game. Bill Russell was the first Black player to become an NBA superstar. There would be no LeBron James if there was no Bill Russell. Bill Russell soon became noted for his unusual style of defense. Later on in life, he said, "To play good defense, it was told back then that you had to stay flat-footed at all times to react quickly. When I started to jump to make defensive plays and to block shots, I was initially corrected, but I stuck with it and it paid off." Perhaps one reason Mr. Russell and Kobe Bryant famously connected so well is because, like Kobe eventually did, he became obsessed with studying and memorizing other players' moves, footwork, such as which foot they moved first on which play, as preparation for defending against them, which included practicing in front of a mirror. In the 1956 NBA draft, Boston Celtics coach Red Auerbach said that he needed a center with defensive toughness and excellent rebounding ability. So he focused on Bill Russell. Auerbach's thoughts were groundbreaking for that era because back then, centers and forwards were defined by their offensive output, and their ability to play defense was downplayed. The St. Louis Hawks, who owned the second pick of the draft, drafted Bill Russell, but they really wanted Celtics center Ed McCauley, who was a six-time NBA All-Star already. So Red Auerbach agreed to trade McCauley and Cliff Hagan, and he got Bill Russell. During that same draft, he also acquired guard Casey Jones, who was Russell's former teammate in college, and he also got Tom Heinsohn. That's three future basketball Hall of Famers in one draft. It was known as one of the most important trades in the history of North American sports at the time. So before his rookie year could even start, he was the captain of the 1956 U.S. men's Olympic basketball team and competed at the Summer Olympics. At that time, the head of the International Olympic Committee, Avery Brundage, argued that Bill Russell should not be allowed to participate because he had already signed a professional sport contract and was no longer an amateur athlete. But Bill Russell fought and he prevailed. He had the option to skip the tournament and play a full season for the Celtics, but he was determined to play in the Olympics, and he won. He helped that U.S. national men's basketball team win the gold medal against the Soviet Union, 89-55, to cap off an 8-0 undefeated run. Due to his Olympic commitment, he couldn't join the Celtics for the 1956-57 season until December. He played in just 48 games and averaged 14.7 points per game and a league-high 19.6 rebounds per game as a rookie. He was one of the five starters on the Celtics team that started five future Hall of Famers: Bill Russell, forwards Tom Heinsohn and Frank Ramsey, and guards Bill Sharman and Bob Cousy. Casey Jones, who was also drafted, remember, didn't play for the Celtics until that following season because he had military service to finish. So from December 22nd, 1956, Bill Russell started in the NBA against the St. Louis Hawks, who was led by Bob Pettit, who would go on to hold several all-time scoring records. So as you can see, he wasn't playing firemen and plumbers. Take note, J.J. Reddit. This draft laid the foundation for the great Celtics dynasty that everybody likes to talk about. Bill Russell took the league by storm. He was an elite help defender who allowed the Celtics to play that Hey Bill defense. So what the Hey Bill defense was is that when one of his teammates needed additional defensive help, they would just say, "Hey Bill." And he was so quick, he could get over there, do a quick double team, and make it right back in position in time to keep the opponent from finding the open man. Quick as lightning, great footwork. He was so fast and dominant that his defense was called into question by Eddie Gottlieb, the coach of the Philadelphia Warriors, after the Celtics beat them in a game. Bill Russell had 17 points, which wasn't so bad, but he had 25 rebounds. So Gottlieb protested the next day, saying that Russell played a one-man zone and goaltended numerous times to only be called once. Gottlieb said, "Our player went underneath for a simple backboard layup, and as the ball traveled down towards the basket, Russell batted it away. If that isn't goaltending, I want somebody to tell me what it is." Red Auerbach, the Celtics coach, replied that his statements were absolutely ridiculous and said any controversy was just sour grapes. Sound like it to me. But during Bill Russell's rookie season, He received a lot of negative publicity as a player. He was notorious for his public surliness, is what they called it. But Bill Russell ignored virtually any well-wisher who approached him, whether he was playing at home or away, including the vast majority of the media. His autograph was among the most difficult to secure for that reason. He had a more cordial relationship with many of his teammates, but he had one exception, that Tom Heinsohn. That was his old rival from college and a fellow rookie. Heinsohn felt that the reason behind that was that Russell resented him because he was named the 1957 NBA Rookie of the Year. Many people thought that Russell was more important, even though he had only played half the season, remember? But Bill Russell also did not give an autograph to Heinsohn's cousin. And he said to Heinsohn that he felt like he deserved half of his $300 Rookie of the Year check. So that relationship got off to a bad start, and it never really got quite right. The Celtics finished the 56-57 regular season with a 44-28 record, guaranteed them a trip to the NBA playoffs, and there they met the Syracuse National, and they went on to win the finals his rookie season. 125-123 was the last game, and they earned their first NBA championship. It was a wonderful game for the Celtics. That was the first time that organization ever won a championship. So although the Celtics, led by the dominance of Bill Russell, began the 57-58 season by winning 14 straight games, with Bill Russell averaging 16 points per game and a league record 22.7 rebounds a game, the NBA reasoned that other centers were better all-around players than Russell, but no player was more valuable to his team. He was voted the NBA most valuable player, but only named to the All-NBA second team, something that would occur repeatedly throughout his career. Because why? Players voted for the MVP award, something that would last until the 79-80 season. And the media voted for the All-NBA teams. So because of his relationship with the media and the way it was so dicey, it was obvious the media took it out on him and only named him to the second team that season. So in this second season for Bill Russell, the Celtics won 49 games and made the first berth in the 1958 NBA playoffs, where they met in the NBA finals with the St. Louis Hawks. Bill Russell was hurt. The Hawks prevailed, with Bob Pettit scoring 50 points in the deciding game 6. So many folks thought that Boston would have won if Russell hadn't been injured, but Red Auerbach commented, "You can always look for excuses. We just got beat." After that defeat in the finals, the team went from 1958 to 1966, winning 8 straight NBA championships, 6 of them against my beloved Minneapolis/Los Angeles Lakers. He went on to win 2 more as a player coach of the Celtics for a total of 11 NBA championships. So after they won that last NBA championship for those 8 years, Red Auerbach decided he was going to retire before the 66-67 season started. He asked his old player, Frank Ramsey, to succeed him. He declined. He asked Bob Cousy and Tommy Heinsohn. They both declined. But Heinsohn surprisingly told Red that Bill Russell should be their player and coach. So when Red Auerbach asked Bill Russell to do that, Bill Russell agreed, and he became the coach of the Celtics. A public announcement was made 2 days later, and Bill Russell became the first Black head coach in NBA history and the first Black head coach of any professional sports team in North America. So at that announcement, he commented to the journalist, "I wasn't offered the job because I'm a Negro. I was offered it because Red figured I could do it. Still keeping the media on their toes. In this first season as coach, the Celtics did not make it to the finals. But that next season, the 34-year-old Russell averaged 12.5 points a game and 18.6 rebounds, the third highest average in the league, all while coaching the team. After being down 3-1 in the Eastern Conference Finals, Bill Russell led the Celtics to beating the Sixers to go to the finals. The Celtics then beat the Los Angeles Lakers 4-2 in the finals, giving Bill Russell his 10th title in 12 years. After losing for the fifth straight time against Bill Russell and the Celtics, Hall of Famer Lakers guard Jerry West stated, "If I had a choice of any basketball player in the league, my number one choice has to be Bill Russell. Bill Russell never ceases to amaze me." During the 68-69 NBA season, the Celtics entered the playoffs as a fourth seed. They upset the 76ers and the Knicks to go back to the finals against the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers were the favorite. They had Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, and Jerry West. Of course, the series went to a game 7 in Los Angeles. The Celtics held on for a 108-106 victory, and Bill Russell claimed his 11th championship in 13 years. At age 35, Bill Russell contributed only 6 points, but he had 21 rebounds and 6 assists in that last game. After the game, Bill Russell went over to the distraught Jerry West, who had scored 42 points. And get this, he's the one. This is the game where he was named the only NBA Finals MVP in history from the losing team. Bill Russell went over to Jerry West and grabbed his hand and tried to comfort him in that loss. But days later, when over 30,000 Celtics fans showed up to cheer their champions, Bill Russell was not there. He ended his career and cut all ties to the Celtics, which shocked Red Auerbach, who had already decided to draft a guard instead of a center to replace Russell. Without that all-star center, the Celtics went 34-48 that next season and failed to even make it to the 1970 playoffs for the first time since 1950. In Boston, both the fans and journalists felt betrayed because Bill Russell left the Celtics without a coach and a center. And instead, Bill Russell got paid a month of his salary by selling his story to Sports Illustrated. So they accused him of selling out the future of the franchise, but Bill Russell was unmoved. He ended his NBA playing career a champion and rode off in the sunset. Afterwards, years later, his number 6 jersey was retired by the Celtics. That was about 3 years after he finished playing. He was included into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in 1975. Bill Russell, in true form, did not attend either ceremony. However, he did eventually attend his 2021 induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame as a coach. But as a player, no, he did not at the time. So after retiring, Bill Russell had stints as a head coach with the Supersonics and the Kings. His time as a non-player coach there wasn't as successful as it was with the Celtics. He finished with a 341-290 regular season record and 34-27 in the playoffs. So he had winning records, which was great. Afterwards, he later ran into some financial troubles at a time which was not too uncommon back then, but he was able to overcome that too. He was in broadcasting for roughly 10 years, but he never was really happy because the industry required him to give opinions in a few seconds, and he felt with all his knowledge of basketball, he wanted to go deeper than that. He wrote some books. He even hosted Saturday Night Live episode. He also guest starred on some other TV shows. But after that decade, Bill Russell started making fewer public appearances in the early 1990s. He lived a near recluse life out near Seattle, Washington. But after Wilt Chamberlain's death in October of 99, it seemed Bill Russell returned to the spotlight somehow. He published Russell's Rules in 2001. And then I bet you didn't know that in a display of that strong leadership and gift of mentorship, in 2006, he convinced Shaquille O'Neal to bury the hatchet with his former Los Angeles Lakers teammate Kobe Bryant and end the Shaq-Kobe feud. On November 17th of that same year, Bill Russell was recognized for his impact on college basketball as a member of the founding class of the National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame. And then he was also inducted in 2007 as a member of the founding class of the FIBA Hall of Fame. On February 14, 2009, Commissioner David Stern announced that the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award would be renamed the Bill Russell NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award in his honor as an 11-time NBA champion. During the halftime of the 2009 All-Star Game, Celtics captains Ray Allen, Kevin Garnett, and Paul Pierce presented Russell a surprise birthday cake for his 75th birthday. Bill Russell attended Game 5 of the 2009 NBA Finals to present Kobe Bryant the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player Award. And then Russell was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Barack Obama in 2011. So Bill Russell and Kobe Bryant were spectators to a basketball game, ironically, done for the Obama's 50th birthday party at the White House on the tennis court. Bill Russell is one of the most successful and decorated athletes in North American sports history, not just basketball history. He had, in addition to the 11 NBA championships with the Boston Celtics in 13 seasons, two of them as a player coach. He was the first of only four players in basketball history to win an NCAA championship and an NBA championship back to back. He won two state championships in high school, the Olympic gold medal in 1956. He was the first black head coach in the NBA. He was the first player in NBA history to average more than 20 rebounds per game for an entire season, a feat he accomplished 10 times in his 13 seasons. Russell's 51 rebounds in a single game is the second highest performance ever outside of Wilt Chamberlain's all-time record of 55. He still holds the NBA record for rebounds in one half with 32. Russell ranks second to Chamberlain in regular season total and average per game rebounds, and he led the NBA in average rebounds per game four times. Bill Russell is the all-time playoff leader in total and average rebounds per game. He grabbed 40 rebounds in three separate playoff games, twice in the NBA Finals, and he never failed to average at least 20 rebounds per game in any of his 13 playoff campaigns. Bill Russell also had seven regular season games with 40 or more rebounds, the NBA Finals record for highest rebound per game average, and by a rookie. He also holds the NBA Finals single game record for most rebounds in a quarter, and most consecutive games with 20 or more rebounds. He also had 51 rebounds in one game, 49 in two others, and 12 straight seasons of 1,000 or more rebounds. He played in 11 deciding games in the finals, 10 times in game sevens, once in game five, and ended with an 11-0 record. While he was never the focal point of the Celtics' offense, he instead focused on his elite defense. He ranks number one in NBA history for defensive win shares at 133.6. Guess who's number two? No, it's not Michael Jordan. It's not Gary Payton. It's Tim Duncan. Five NBA MVP awards. Five of them for the league. That's tied with Michael Jordan for second all time behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's six MVP league awards. And is at number six for most regular season NBA Finals MVP awards, despite the latter being assigned only since 1969. And remember, he started in 56. He was selected 3 times to the All-NBA first teams and 8 second teams and was a 12-time NBA All-Star. He was elected to 1 NBA All-Defensive first team. Why? Because this happened during his last season in 1969, which was the first season the NBA All-Defensive teams were even selected. So that's the only reason. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have had more NBA All-Defensive First Team selections. The Sporting News named Bill Russell the Athlete of the Decade. And he was also declared the greatest player in the history of the NBA by the Professional Basketball Writers Association of America in 1980. He was named Sportsman of the Year by Sports Illustrated in 1968. He's one of 4 players, Bob Cousy, George Mikan, Bob Pettit, and Bill Russell, to have made all 4 NBA anniversary teams. The NBA 25th anniversary team in 1970, the 35th anniversary team in 1980, the 50th anniversary team in 96, and the 75th anniversary team, of course, in 2021. He's ranked number 18 on ESPN's 50 Greatest Athletes of the 20th Century list. He was voted the 3rd best center of all time by ESPN behind Abdul-Jabbar and Wilt Chamberlain. In 2009, Slam Magazine named him the 3rd best player of all time behind Michael Jordan and Wilt Chamberlain. In 2020, he was ranked number 4 in ESPN's list of the top 74 NBA players of all time, the 2nd best center behind Abdul-Jabbar and ahead of Chamberlain. In 2022, this year, he was ranked number 6 in ESPN's NBA 75th anniversary team list and number 4 in a similar list done by The Athletic. Of Bill Russell, former NBA player and head coach Don Nelson said, "There are 2 types of superstars. One makes himself look good at the expense of the other guys on the floor. But there's another type who makes the players around him look better than they are. And that's the type Russell was." On June 15, 2017, the awards continue. Russell was announced as the inaugural recipient of the NBA Lifetime Achievement Award. In 2013, prior to that, Boston, the city of Boston, honored Bill Russell by erecting a statue of him on City Hall Plaza. He's there with these 11 things called plinths representing the 11 championships he helped the Celtics win. But during the spring of 2015, 2 statues of children were added to his statue, honoring Bill Russell's commitment to working with children. Bill Russell's impact on the NCAA was more than changing basketball in-game rules. On August 2nd, 2020, the West Coast Conference, which has been home to the University of San Francisco since the league's formation in 1952, became the first NCAA Division I conference to adopt a conference-wide diversity hiring commitment, announcing the Russell Rule, named after Bill Russell and based on the National Football League's Rooney Rule, requiring each member institution to include a member of a traditionally underrepresented community in the pool of final candidates for every athletic director, senior administrator, head coach, and full-time assistant coach position in the athletic department. Because Russell's life was marked by an uphill battle against racism and controversial actions and statements in response to racism, he's earned his place in history as a pioneer of the civil rights movement. As a child, he witnessed how his parents were victims of racial abuse, and the family eventually moved into government housing projects to escape the daily torment of bigotry. They ran to the projects. As a college player at University of San Francisco, Bill Russell recalled how he and his few fellow black teammates were jeered by white students, even after he became a star, let's say a superstar with the Celtics. Russell was the victim of racial abuse. When the NBA All-Stars toured the U.S. in the 1958 offseason, white hotel owners in North Carolina denied rooms to Bill Russell and his black teammates, causing him to later write in his memoir, Go Up for Glory, it stood out, a wall which understanding cannot penetrate. You are a Negro. You are less. It covered every area. A living, smarting, hurting, smelling, greasy substance which covered you. Before the 61-62 season, Bill Russell's team was scheduled to play in an exhibition game in Lexington, Kentucky, when Russell and his black teammates were refused service at a local restaurant. So as part of the 1961 Celtics boycott, he and the other black teammates refused to play in the exhibition game and flew home. Of course, this was a big deal and grew a great deal of controversy and publicity. As a consequence of his endured racist abuse, Bill Russell was extremely sensitive to all racial prejudice. This is why he was described as truculent with the media and his neighbors. His experiences taught him how society would treat him, no matter his superstar status or wealth. He often perceived insults even when others didn't. He was active in the Black Power movement and was among the African-American athletes and the one political leader who came together at the 1967 Cleveland Summit to support Muhammad Ali and his decision to refuse to be drafted into the military. I'm sure you have all seen that iconic black and white photo showing Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar seated at the table, flanked by eight other activists standing behind them. He was there, speaking out, showing support for Ali in his fight for his civil rights. Bill Russell was accused of discounting the fact that his career was helped by white people who were proven anti-racist, despite his take on American whites. His high school coach, George Piles, who encouraged him to play basketball, his college coach, Phil Woolpert, who integrated USF basketball, Celtics coach Red Auerbach, who made him the first black NBA coach and is regarded as an anti-racist pioneer for his no color barrier, and Celtics owner Walter Brown, who gave him a high $24,000 rookie contract, just $1,000 shy of the top earning veteran Bob Cousy. Bill Russell always spoke highly individually about his college coach and also published autobiographical account, Red and Me, about his lifelong friendship with Red Auerbach. In the book, he wrote, "With Red and Walter Brown, I was the freest athlete on the planet. I could always be myself with them, and they were always there for me." Bill Russell recalled in 2010 a list of the organization's accomplishments on racial progress, both in terms of objective milestones and his own subjective experience as a member of the organization. He said the Celtics were the first NBA basketball team to draft a black player, period, a guy named Chuck Cooper from Duquesne. The first team to start five black players was the Boston Celtics. The first NBA organization to hire a black head coach was the Boston Celtics, and they've had at least five black head coaches over the years. So during a press conference, Bill Russell was asked, as the first Negro head coach in a major league sport, can you do the job impartially without any racial prejudice in reverse? What an insulting question to me. He replied, yes. When the reporter asked how, Russell said, because the most important factor is respect. And in basketball, I respect a man for his ability, period. But as a result of repeated racial bigotry, Bill Russell refused to respond to fan acclaim or friendship from his neighbors in Boston, thinking it was insincere and hypocritical. This attitude contributed to his bad rapport with fans and journalists. He alienated Celtics fans by saying, You owe the public the same it owes you. Nothing. I refuse to smile and be nice to the kiddies. Probably because those kiddies were the kids of those adults calling him the N-word all the time. White fans accuse Russell of being egotistical and paranoid and hypocritical. The already hostile atmosphere between Bill Russell and Boston hit its peak when vandals broke into his house, covered the walls with racist graffiti, damaged his trophies, and defecated in the beds. In response, Bill Russell described Boston as a flea market of racism. He was reported as saying, "From my very first year, I thought of myself as playing for the Celtics, not for Boston. The fans could do or think whatever they want." When the Celtics did not frequently sell out the Boston Garden, while the generally mediocre and all-white NHL Boston Bruins did, Bill Russell recalled, "We, the Celtics, did a survey about what we could do to improve attendance. Over 50% of the responses said, there's too many black players." So in retirement, Bill Russell described the Boston press as corrupt and racist. In response, Boston sports journalist Larry Claflin claimed that Russell himself was a real racist. The FBI maintained a file on Russell and described him in their file as an arrogant Negro who won't sign autographs for white children. These are the types of racial things that Bill Russell had to endure while playing for a team that flew in the face of this racism. He had to pull it together and separate the team from the fans, and he won 11 championships while doing it. You're talking about intestinal fortitude. It's no wonder that Bill Russell refused to attend the ceremony when his jersey number 6 was retired in 1972 and his induction into the Hall of Fame in 75. He had those sore feelings a long time towards Boston, but there was eventually a reconciliation. In his later years, he did start going back to Boston. He accepted his Hall of Fame ring in 2019 in a private ceremony with his family. When Russell originally retired, he demanded that his jersey be retired in an empty Boston Garden. In 95, the Celtics left the Boston Garden and went to the Fleet Center, which is now the TD Garden. And as their main festive act, they wanted to re-retire his jersey, something he was against at first. But on May 6, 99, they did re-retire his jersey, and he attended the ceremony, along with his friend Will Chamberlain and Celtics legend Larry Bird and Hall of Famer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The crowd gave Russell a prolonged standing ovation, which brought tears to his eyes. He thanked Wilt Chamberlain for taking him to the limit and making him a better player, and the crowd for allowing him to be part of their lives. What a moment. Bill Russell never stopped fighting for civil rights of black people. On September 26, 2017, at the age of 83, Bill Russell posted a photograph of himself on Twitter, in which he was taking the knee in solidarity with those who were doing their U.S. National Anthem kneeling protests. Russell wore his Presidential Medal of Freedom, and the image was captioned, "Proud to take a knee and to stand tall against social injustice." In an interview with ESPN, Russell said that he wanted the NFL players to know they were not alone. He was a true activist. Right up to the end. The love, honor, respect of your peers is the main indicator of what you meant to the sport as one of the greats. When news came out that Mr. Russell had passed, of course, many notable athletes and famous people took to social media or released official statements to express their thoughts at hearing the sad news. Current NBA champion point guard Steph Curry posted a photo of himself and Mr. Russell on Instagram saying, "Trailblazer, icon, greatest champ in basketball, made the world on and off the court a better place. Thank you and rest easy, 11. The 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, said in part, "Today we lost a giant. As tall as Bill Russell stood, his legacy rises far higher, both as a player and as a person." The Boston Celtics organization paid tribute, calling him a revolutionary in the sport and an important societal leader. Lakers great Irvin Magic Johnson tweeted, "Bill Russell was my idol. I looked up to him on the court and off." Current Celtic Jaylen Brown posted, "Rest in peace. Thank you for paving the way and inspiring so many. Today is a sad day, but also a great day to celebrate his legacy and what he stood for." And the GOAT Michael Jordan said, "Bill Russell was a pioneer as a player, as a champion, as the NBA's first black head coach, and as an activist. He paved the way and set an example for every black player who came into the league after him, including me. The world has lost a legend. My condolences to his family, and may he rest in peace." Legends are forever. When I hear this, I think of Muhammad Ali, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Sean Taylor, Chuck Knoll, Mark Spitz, Arthur Ashe, Arnold Palmer, Reggie White, Jackie Robinson, Jesse Owens, Florence Griffith Joyner, and of course, the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. I now add Mr. Bill Russell, the greatest winner of all of sports, the trailblazer, the ambassador of the NBA, and civil rights icon. Next NBA season, when the 2022-23 Finals MVP is crowned, the ceremony will not be the same without seeing that familiar figure standing there, smiling, as the recipient holds up his trophy, his namesake trophy, with a hug and a handshake, showing love and respect for the man who not only paved the way, but plowed the way for every other black NBA player and coach to come after him. We love you, Mr. Russell. Our prayers go out to your family. The sports and civil rights world honors you and will miss you. Rest now, Mr. Russell, for you have done well. And with that, I say thank you. Thank you for taking time and spending time with me to talk about the great Bill Russell. Make sure that you share this episode with all your friends and ask them, "Did you hear what Chocolate said about Bill Russell?" Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, where my profile name is @ChocolateWriter, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TheChocolateWriter. And also check out my website, which is thechocolatewriter.com. I'm accepting new clients, so hit up my contact page. Until next time, as always, I wish you love, peace, and chocolate.